We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and I am joined today by Owen Reese. Find him on Twitter at Reese Draft. The draft is in the books. It is behind us. And as promised, we have players to talk about, Owen. But before we get started, Owen, what was your weekend like? What is your draft like go to? Did you leave the couch? Do you take a nap when you have a 2-hour break? Like, what's your go-to food? Like, walk me through your weekend.
So I try to watch the draft around as few people as possible because not that my opinion is ever right, but I just the sheer unhinged just audacity of the average person's takes. I get so mad so quickly. So I watched the draft by myself. I watched it in my room by myself on Saturday. I can tell you. So Thursday night, full disclosure, like first round, obviously, whatever. Friday night, we have spring practice. I hustle back to my place after practice. A bit more relaxed. I mean, you get through some meat and potatoes of the draft, but it's still fairly pretty whatever. Saturday morning, I got an especially good workout in because I knew I was just going to be the fattest person in America. And so I ordered the biggest Pizza Hut pizza I could find and settled in and just got ready for the nitty gritty. And it was good. Enjoyed my time. Hopped on a Zoom with a couple of the scouts from the Shrine Bowl and just contemplating our lives until the fifth round, when from the fifth, sixth, and seventh round, the Shrine Bowl had 45 guys drafted. And so we set a record this year. We had 57 guys drafted from the game, which is the most in history, which is cool and not bad. So we're pretty excited about that, kind of getting to see these guys. Some of our guys, I was very surprised, didn't get picked and didn't really understand why. But nonetheless, it was good. Packers added some nice players, which is always fun. And more importantly, to keep up appearances, Brian Gutekunst threw bodies at the problem, which is good for us and good for content tonight because five young men who are above the average size human heading to the offensive line in Green Bay for this offseason, and we can talk about them here.
Yeah, and we are. There are five offensive linemen in particular that we're going to kind of go through, and you might be asking yourself, they only drafted three, and you're right. But you look at kind of some of what they did with signing bonuses, with where that money for recruitment purposes was allocated, and you kind of read the tea leaves about what they thought about, you know, two of the UDFAs that they brought in. But before we get to that, we are supposed to talk about, did the Packers draft athletes again this year? And Owen, you had a really interesting point and take you know, pre-show, and not to steal from you, but I'll lead you kind of to it. You basically said, well, the Packers did not draft an athlete with an under 7 RAS in this year's draft class, yet they had the 18th highest ranked, 18th or 19th highest ranked, you know, composite RAS type score. So that's an interesting thought, right? Because, yeah, they did draft athletes, but they were on the bottom half of the league as far as teams that drafted athletes. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, as a noted hater of RAS, I just think I think the biggest takeaway is that, and you mentioned this slightly prior pre-show too, but like, not that teams are like looking like, what's this kid's RAS, but the general, like, I mean, it's just fairly not like people are getting better at like vetting themselves through the process. Right. And like, if I'm Joe Blow, the offensive guard, and I know I'm not going to have a good three cone, like I'm just not going to do it. And so like, if you're a power five guy, who cares, right? Like if you're a small school player or someone that didn't play a ton, you probably have to like sell and advocate for yourself that I'm a competitor and I will whatever, you know, like I'll do whatever it takes. But like a lot of these guys are just simply not putting themselves in position to have poor numbers outside of like height or weight. And so like, it seems like this happens every single year, but like this year without fail, right? Like the most, I swore I saw 15 times a day on my feed, right? Like whoever player, the number 9 athlete ever at their position, right? And like when it just continually happens so often, you're just like, okay, well, like, and we kind of know, right? Like players are bigger than they ever been before. They're more athletic. They've ever been before, whatever, whatever. But like, it's just getting to the point where just simply saying like, well, yeah, like team A values elite athletes. Like, duh, right? Like it's not, I don't mean to sound like condescending with that, but it's just, it's becoming less and less of a differentiator as far as, oh, well, we won't take anyone that doesn't do this. I'm like, well, first of all, not many teams will. And second, the kids that would not meet that threshold are just not doing them anymore. Right. And so like, it's kind of becoming a bit more, the lines are a bit blurred as far as, you know, I think whatever the number was, 17th or whatever. Right. So like the Packers are a team that are known on Twitter, like the fans of the people that cover it, right? Like, yeah, like, well, the Packers really value, you know, good athletes. I'm like, well, yeah, like, so does everyone else. And so that, I think that what, and to wrap this up, because I just, truthfully, just doesn't warrant this much of our time or thought, to be honest. But like, I think the more and more that staffs turn over, the Packers have stayed very continuity based with their front office, right? Like, it's gone from Ron Wolf to Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst, and there hasn't been a ton of turnover along that staff. And so they are continuing to value what they always have. I just think it's that makes the tendency that much clearer, but that doesn't like mean that they prioritize things that other people don't. They have just had such little variability in their process that it's just shown through for that amount of time. Like, right, like, the Packers were ahead of the curve on RAS, maybe, which may be like an oversimplified way of saying it. Like, the Packers have prioritized athletic guys for a long time, even when it wasn't quite as obvious or simple to do so. And so, like, now I just don't think it really means much anymore. I do think that the tendencies and the thresholds do provide some value and like can kind of help like trim your pool of who they consider. But I think that the notion that, you know, Packers won't draft whoever because they have a bad RAS, like, okay. But also like, it's, like I said, it's just no longer like, oh, this guy's got a good RAS, he'll be a Packers target. Like, bro, like they're all good athletes, man, anymore. Because there are very few poor athletes. And even in like the cases, I will say, and this will be the last thing, like even guys like Tyler Newbin, like it's pretty widely known, like tested coming off of injury, not at peak performance. So like, as long as the teams know that, they don't even really care because he still went 47th overall or whatever it was. So like, yeah, even being an athletic outlier anymore doesn't even really matter because teams have GPS data and other contexts that we simply don't. And so to wrap all that up, yes, the Packers prioritize athletes. So does the rest of the league. And in a process in which people will only continue to get more athletic and not do the things that will hurt their athleticism scores, composite, knowing or not, it's probably just becoming a bit of a, I don't want to say draconian, but like, it's just not, it no longer has the importance that it once did.
Yep. And it's rare that you see a guy with like a complete RAS card. And if they do, and they're a great athlete, like tip of the cap, you know, because a lot of these guys, like you said, like, how do I Fandango this way to kind of be a 9-8 RAS guy if I, you know, I can hit what I'm good at. But I think a lot of the advanced stuff is really interesting, and I hope it becomes more mainstream, like the miles per hour, you know, the acceleration stuff that they have on some of these guys, like in game. Like, I think that stuff is fascinating. And we in the general public don't really have access to that stuff, but teams do, you know, so that's stuff that they pay attention to as well. But we're going to talk about the offensive linemen today. We're going to get through five of these guys. You know, obviously Jordan Morgan, Arizona, should have seen it coming. You know, when you look back on it, you're like, oh yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Why they drafted him. You brought up a point, and I talked to Andy about this on the live thing that we did on Friday, and it was, well, why would they take Morgan over Barton when Barton seemed to be, you know, a really good player, blah, 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 everything they hit, everything they like, we all liked him. And then they take a guy that's not him. Morgan was announced as a tackle and Barton was announced as a center. And I think that's, you know, we can say everything we want to on Twitter, but ultimately the NFL is going to be the final, you know, deciding factor on where these guys play and stuff like that. And they may have just viewed him as a center. So talk to me about Morgan. Owen, I know that you've kind of gone through your deep dive on him already, but give us the bullet points and kind of what you saw from him, you know, where he's going to fit in with this team and why Green Bay valued him like they did.
Yeah. So Morgan's a guy team, you'll hear this as a pattern throughout the draft with the Packers in particular this year. It seemed team captain, team leader, locker room guy, culture guy, which may come off as a bit football-y, but like I said, like it really, like every single guy the Packers drafted this year, they like went out of their way to praise their football character, which is what it is, I guess. But a guy who honestly was probably a borderline first-round pick last year and tore his ACL late in the season, right? And so that kept him from declaring for the 23 draft. Came back this year, played the whole year, which kudos to him coming off an ACL, and honestly looked pretty good. Really good athlete, big guy, right? So like Packers wide zone is their base scheme, right? So he's going to fit well there. Really moves well laterally, which I think is the other huge thing, right? He's going to be able to cut off linebackers on the backside of wide zone. Not going to be a mauler, right? I don't want to call him like a position blocker or a finesse guy, but he's just simply not going to like displace too many NFL D linemen like off of their spot. But a guy who was praised for his weight room ethic at Arizona, and a guy who I assume, again, like only a year off the ACL, is not completely like peak top strength wise yet too. So give him a year in the Packers program, who knows? But I think he's a guy that does provide some intrigue, because I don't think it's out of the realm that he could play guard. But I do think he'll start at tackle. I think probably like a fairly probable thing was that even if he doesn't start at left tackle, if he's there two behind Rasheed Walker, even at the beginning of the year, like if they went like three series Walker, one with Morgan or something like that, just to kind of get his feet wet a little bit and build that confidence on the off chance that he, and likely just how the NFL works, will be needed at some point, whether it's at right or left, or even at guard, if he's their best option there, if they really want to get him some time. So as a pass blocker, I think that's his best trait at the moment. Can struggle with power at times. Not, again, like I said, just not like the most brute strength guy, at least on film. Got by Braylon Trice on a bull rush, which obviously was a third round pick. So certainly no slouch, but those, you'll be seeing Braylon Trice every single week in the NFL. overall, I really didn't see. He had two sacks given up this year. One was against Trice, and the other he kind of got. I don't want to sound too O-line coachy, making up an excuse, but like, kind of got screwed over by a. They had an inline tight end, and the vertical release kind of like artificially widened the D end, and some poor technique on Morgan's part kind of put him in a poor position. He got beat inside for a sack, so just stuff like that can get cleaned up. The other thing too, and I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I'm more concerned if a kid like can't handle the techniques to stop a bull rush, as opposed to like, I'm willing to deal with some physical limitations, right? That is what it is. Honestly, like, should just go, like, should, like, he'll jump set more in the NFL would be my guess. Is if you struggle against bull rushes, like, don't let the train get started before you have to try to stop it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Not super concerned with that. Gonna have really good range in the run game. Nice above average athlete at tackle in the NFL as far as pass pro. It's one of those things where, like, honestly, like, it was right beneath our noses the entire time. He fits every box that Graham Barton did, I think. And me personally, like, I just got zoned in on Graham. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where good tackle, honestly. And the other thing too, credit to Sean Linton, the Packers West Coast scout. Jordan Morgan, West Coast guy. Marshawn Lloyd, West Coast guy. Evan Williams, West Coast guy. Trying to think if there's any others, but like, pretty clear that they valued West Coast dudes in this draft and did a good job on that, and they loaded up on him. So overall, like I said, good player, worth taking at 25, good athlete, high floor, potential high ceiling. Like I said, the best way, like, it's like a double that you hope, like, you can leg into a triple if it hits the gap.
Hey friends, you may not know this because usually you hear me talking about the Packers 365 days a year, but I'm actually a massive, massive fan of the NBA playoffs. And while I've always enjoyed NBA basketball, it's been taken to an entirely different level as I've been utilizing PrizePicks to test my skills and add to that excitement level of the NBA playoffs. PrizePicks is the most fun that I have ever had, winning up to 100 times my money, and there's never been a better time to join the PrizePicks community. Did you know that there's over 5 million members that have already downloaded the app? 5 million! This playoff season, star players are in play in a significant way. Keep an eye out for starred players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. This week, I'm going with Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson for rebounds, points, and assists, respectively. And I'm already geeking out about putting Caitlin Clark's three-pointers made stat line in my lineup when women's season tips off in just over a month. Basketball plus prize picks equals epic excitement. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There is nothing quite like the thrill of live NBA playoff basketball this time of year. And if you haven't had the opportunity to catch a playoff game in person, let me just tell you, you are missing out. But you don't need to be. You could attend an NBA playoff game easily with the use of Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. And guess what? Prices actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last minute deals, all-in prices, seat views, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all the awful, frustrating aspects of purchasing tickets out of the equation, and they help you get the perfect tickets that you want. I'm on my Game Time app right now, scrolling through Bucks tickets for Game 5, and not only are there plenty of great seats available, but the deals are incredible, and I can literally click and purchase any number of amazing deals right now. The best thing about Game Time is definitely the ease of use, no question about it, but their lowest price guarantee and their cancellation protection have come in huge for me in the past and are two more of my favorite features. Let me just say it again. The last minute deals come in clutch every single time. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So get in on the action and take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Yeah, which is exactly what we were talking about with Barton. And you know, it really probably just did come down to like, hey, we think Barton can maybe play tackle, but we know that Morgan can, you know, and that might just be how they thought about it. So, you know, when it's one of those things, you just kind of look back on it and you're like, ah, okay, yep, made a lot of sense. And for those saying that it was a reach, it wasn't, you know, like we talked about it. I don't know if everyone saw Jerry just basically leaking Dallas's board, but he was on it. One of the four guys that they were considering at 24 was Morgan. And then I know the Commanders allegedly wanted to move back into the first round to take him. And then the Ravens allegedly were very in on him as well. So Goody talked about, you know, hey, if we move back, he wasn't going to be there. I believe him. And so, you know, it'll be interesting now, you know, we can speculate till the cows come home about, is he going to play left tackle? What does that mean for Rashid? Is Rashid going to move to the right side? Do they want Rashid just to be the swing? Are they going to move Zach Tom to center? Like, I mean, this stuff is all going to get sorted out at camp. And they gave themselves with that pick a ton of flexibility to try to find their best five. So that's exciting. And, you know, this offense, this young offense is ready to roll. Really the only thing that looks like it could sidetrack it is if, you know, some of your offensive linemen go down. So they fortified that position in a big way. You know, another guy that they took is that we'll talk about is, you know, speaking of Duke offensive linemen, if you would have said 2 weeks ago or a week ago, hey, they're going to take a Duke offensive lineman in this year's draft class, you would say, okay, lock it in, baby, Graham Barton, you know. But that's not the Duke offensive line we're talking about. They actually traded up to move up and select Jacob Monk. They announced him at center, and I think that's where he'll play in Green Bay. Maybe he can play some guard. I don't know. But he's someone that I've watched a lot of now, and granted, offensive line is really a spot that I don't put a lot of stock in as far as my opinion. What I like to look for in offensive linemen is like your movement ability. Like what does your footwork look like? And even if it's sloppy, like do you move different? Do you move different than the guys around you? And Jacob Monk does. Like you watch him play, he does not lose. He just doesn't lose reps. And he's not a guy that's going to like bury you in the ground, but he'll move you. And he'll, you know, he's kind of like a geometry type offensive lineman where he understands angles really well. And he understands where he needs to position his body in a way that is advantageous to the offense so they can play off of him. So he's someone that when they took him, I was like, who? I vaguely know who this is. And it was in the fifth round. So someone that I was a little bit surprised with right away, but someone now that, and it didn't take long, Owen, to watch him just be like, okay, I get what they're looking for with him. And I think this kid is eventually a starting center in this league when you look at kind of his body of work. But what are your impressions of the Jacob Monk, the Duke offensive lineman they took in the fifth round?
Yeah, so Jacob Monk's a guy actually, and we talked about this, but like I went back because when the name popped up on the screen, I was like, oh, I know who that is. And so like, as I mentioned, like I do the ACC and last summer I went back and like looked through our texts. Like last June, I was texting our guys at the Shrine Bowl and I was like, if Duke plays in a bowl game this year and he starts all 13 games, Jacob Monk will have 60 career starts. Has played a million snaps for Duke. And just some of the obvious things, right? He's a student at Duke, so he's smart as hell. Okay. He's played a ton of football, two-time captain, right? And so that's a offensive lineman who is a captain who's not their dog, right? Like, it is not always super common to see an offensive lineman be voted as a captain of a team if they are not their guy, right? And so Monk's a guy who clearly has the respect of his teammates. And as you mentioned, like, once you see, and this kind of ties into our RAS stuff earlier, like, is a good athlete, right? Like, has tested even the unknown guys are good athletes, Jacob. But as far as a guy who's, like I said, played a ton of reps, played center, played guard at Duke, has even moonlighted at tackle at times, is just rock solid. And that was a guy, like, even, again, found more text back in the thing. I'm like, hey, man, like, he might be a guy for us, right? Like, he's just really solid. He's not an overwhelming guy. He doesn't pancake a million dudes a game. but he just doesn't lose. And then, like, as an offensive line coach, I can tell you there is a lot of value in not losing.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for playing for stalemates, but if you don't allow the play to be blown up, most of the time you'll probably be okay, right? Like, as long as you are not, like, at the point of attack of a play, right? Like, and so he's a guy who is more athletic than he looks, kind of a stubbier guy, is not real tall, 6'2 and a half, 6'3, but, like, is going to fit in at center. Length does not need to be a huge deal there. And, like, half of the battle at center is getting up, getting the front identified, identifying a mic, and making sure everyone's on the right page. And, like, if you can do that, and then you can also execute after the snap, like, that's such a bonus. And, like, if Josh Myers is not living up to expectations in Green Bay, maybe it's Jacob Monk, maybe it's Zach Tom, maybe it's whoever. But, like, having more quality depth on the offensive line is never a bad thing. Admittedly, I was a bit surprised they traded up, but after Gutekunst talked about him, like, he said there were multiple scouts in the room that were adamant advocating for Jacob Monk. So it's one of those things, like, this is a room that they lost John Runyon, they lost Yosh Nyman, they lost David Bakhtiari. You have guys that are getting talked about that are starting tackles, might get moved somewhere else, do whatever. Need more guys. NFL is 100% injury rate. You need as many capable, coherent bodies in that room as you can. And if he's better than everyone else, then that's awesome. So again, admittedly, a guy who I had, like, truthfully kind of had just fallen under the radar again and was never an on-the-radar prospect as far as the media goes, right, which is also the issue of using, like, consensus media boards, right? Like, I guarantee you Jacob Monk was on none of them. It just doesn't matter. And so overall, again, like, kind of shocked me when I saw the name, but he's Steady Eddie in the fifth round, man, like – and I know that's, like, always, like, the joke with the Packers. They'll just draft some day three lineman and he'll become a starter. I'm not saying that Jacob Monk will necessarily be a starter, but he's going to be a solid dude. He's going to fit the culture. It's multiple-time captain. He's going to work his butt off. He's smart. And he's just played a lot of good football. And, again, credit to Mike Owen, the Packers Northeast scout. Like, that's on him. Like, right? Like, that's your job to go find those guys and – you know, they signed a couple guys as undrafted free agents. We'll talk about in a second, but, like, found Jacob Monk.
And we talk about, like, hey, fit. Morgan is a big-time fit. Monk seems like a big-time fit. A guy that really is kind of an outlier, because with Morgan and Monk, both have kind of the common theme of, like, they're not the guy that's, like, pancake party. It's just not – it's not really how they play. Travis Glover, the Georgia State kid, a little different because he's cut from a little bit different of cloth. You know, he kind of is like, hey, I'm moving you. You know, I'm putting you in the dirt. The common theme with all three of these guys, and really the two, well, not the two, but really the three guys that drafted, and you talk about thresholds, like, one threshold that you absolutely need to add when we do this again next year is, How many starts do they have? Because all three of these guys have played a ton of football. But Travis Glover, you know, he's not the mover that they usually like. He's not the versatile guy that they usually like. I think he's only a right tackle. But if he's a good one, if he can come in and play, that's great. Like, that's what you want from your backups to be able to do. He's someone I haven't watched a ton of him yet. So my opinions are a little bit half-baked of him. I haven't really gotten to him yet, but from what I have watched, he just seems like more of a violent, kind of a violent offensive lineman that is massive. Like, and especially for Packers standards, he's pretty massive. And I think when the pick was first announced, he was announced at like 6'5", 6'6", like 330 something, which is allegedly what he said he played at last year. But he's down to like, I think he mentioned like he's down like 318, 317 now. So that's, you know, that's probably where Green Bay wants him to be and probably will want him to play at. But what are your initial impressions of the Georgia State tackle, Travis Glover?
Yeah, it was a guy that was at the Hula Bowl, which is the week before the Shrine Bowl. And when that roster came out, took a look at him and admittedly was kind of middle of the road on him, right? Like, I mean, he and Caleb Jones have to be the first two guys off the bus, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. that's the first thing you notice. Like, he's a large young man, physically imposing, and just, yeah, like, toolsy, long, big, violent, not quite the Packers type, right? To be honest, like, he kind of gives me gap scheme vibes. He isn't quite as refined with his footwork. He's not the high-level athlete. So I was a bit surprised. However, he was a guy that, again, went from the Hula Bowl to the Senior Bowl and played well there as well, which I think, and Brian Gutekunst mentioned in their press conference, right? Like, they value Senior Bowl and the All-Star process, and getting a chance to see a Georgia State guy go up against a multitude of Power Five guys, right? Like, that matters. That helps for them. And it was a good week for Glover down in Mobile and took advantage of it. And I think especially, too, at pick 202, whether he is their type or not, right? Like, again, if you deviate in the sixth round, who cares, right? And so – and again, Caleb Jones is a right tackle only. And Travis Glover isn't as big as Caleb Jones. But, like, if he's a good football player, again, like, I don't really care. And it's, again, that's a position where you lost David Bakhtiari, you lost Yosh Nijman. You're potentially thinking about moving Zach Tom somewhere, right? Like, if that's even half the case, the position needs an upgrade. And ultimately, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're just resting on, well, we've been developing Kadeem Telfort and Caleb Jones and Luke Tenuta, so we don't need guys, right? Like, no, like, you bring guys in and you hope that if the guys you've had in the building are there and they're worth their salt, they'll beat out the new guys. But ultimately, you bring in the competition for a reason. And if they don't beat them, the NFL isn't a huge sunken cost fallacy league, right? Like, they don't feel obligated to continue to coach Luke Tenuta and Jacob or Caleb Jones if they're not better than the guys they bring in, right? So, and we'll talk about this. They brought in Donovan Jennings. They brought in Trente Jones, Jacob Monk, Travis Glover. Like, these late round guys or UDFA guys, like, if they're better than the guys on the roster, they don't care.
Yeah. And Owen, do you remember Kevin Bacon? Not Kevin Bacon. Is that right? Kevin Bacon is the actor. Who am I thinking? The U-71 package in Green Bay. Oh, my gosh.
What year are we talking here, Coach?
We're talking the Almond Green days, Mark Tauscher, Mike Wall, Marco Rivera, Mike Flanagan, Cliffy.
Gray Rugeber?
No, man. Oh, man. I'll come back to it. I'll come back to it.
Kevin Berry?
What?
Kevin Berry?
Kevin Berry. There it is. Kevin Bacon. Oh, my God. This
University
is
Arizona. This is, Kevin Berry, University of Arizona.
Yes. Draft brain fog. Kevin Bacon out there playing right tackle for the Packers. Good night. But in any case, Kevin Berry, if you're a younger Packer fan, was a backup right tackle, never started in Green Bay, but had a job and was very good at it. And basically that group and those guys we'll talk about, I think Mike Walls even talked about this on this podcast. Like, they would go out there and tell the opposing defensive linemen what play they were running. And they just,
yeah, we're running right here.
We're still going to do it. And we're going to move you and we're going to gain 5 yards. And Kevin Berry was part of that. They would bring him off the bench and play him at tackle and just mash people into the ground. Like, I could see Glover kind of being, I'm not saying he's going to be that, but in that similar vein where it's like, he can move bodies and that's not really something that they have valued on the Packers offensive line. That's just like not their top priority. Like, can you just blow a guy off the ball? I think Glover potentially could. So, like, finding a role for him in a situation like that, I don't know, maybe. That would be cool. But the two guys, the undrafted guys they brought in, you already referenced Donovan Jennings. They gave him a $110,000 guaranteed contract, $10,000 signing bonus. Guys, that's a draft pick. Like, I don't know how else to put that. But that is someone that they clearly targeted and probably wanted to take in the seventh round, but then they just had two guys in the seventh round that they just couldn't pass on. So they brought in Donovan Jennings, the offensive lineman from Southern Florida. And honestly, Owen, you turn on the tape, I think his tape's better than Glover. And yeah. So like, that's, if you would tell me that those two were swapped, like they drafted Jennings, you know, in the sixth round and they gave Glover this big signing bonus, like I would get that. But you know, Jennings is a really, you know, again, has played a ton of football, doesn't lose, you know, really fits kind of what they like to do in Green Bay. I would not have been shocked if he was a draft pick at all. But he was, I believe he was one of your Shrine Bowl guys too. So someone that I'm sure you're very familiar with.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, so Donovan was at our game, angel of a human being. We were going to invite him last year, and he broke his leg against Louisville, like week four of the year, somewhere on there, and ended up coming back. I will stand on this. One of the best games, films of any prospect in this class came from Donovan Jennings this year. Against Alabama.
Yep.
He shut down Dallas Turner. He shut down Chris Braswell. South Florida did not win that football game, but they had a hell of a lot better shot because of their left tackle. And so Donovan Jennings was a guy we had the game. I think he plays guard in the NFL, to be honest. I don't think he's has quite – but does have the value of, like, I don't think it's out of the realm that he could get you out of a game at tackle in a pinch, which is going to help you a lot get on the active 46 on game day, right? And so he's a guy that, again, I was kind of surprised that he didn't get picked. But again, when you like got a six-figure signing bonus to be an undrafted free agent, like you might as well that you're getting the financial investment of a draft pick as a UDFA. So a guy I would expect to see in Green Bay after the 90-man cutdowns, to be honest. But again, a guy who's played a ton of football, team captain, six-year college guy, I believe. And so I was very happy to see that. It's an extra supplement. And again, more of a Packers traditional type mover, blindside tackle experience, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, no, and then the other thing too, and to circle back slightly for the Glover thing, it can maybe be a joke about how the end of the year happened with it, but there is another team in the NFC North that uses a sixth offensive lineman a lot and like literally has Dan Skipper on the roster to be a sixth offensive lineman. And so if they end up taking a cue from Detroit's playbook on that, the Lions aren't the worst team to mimic at the moment. So all things considered.
Yeah. And, last guy that we'll talk about, I don't have much of an opinion on him. This is, I think, Trent. Is it Trent or Trenty?
Trente Jones.
Trente. Like the Starbucks cup? But he stuck out to me because – when you, I'm putting together the threshold things, like he was a really high fit as far as athletic testing, and he did all the testing. Like he, I think he kind of hit that magic number they like in the shuttle, which is kind of rare for guys to hit. And I think he like really hit it. So he's, you know, he's got that movement ability that you kind of like in these like zone type schemes. But talk to me a little bit about him, just because I really don't know much about him. What all I know about him is when Zach Zinter went down, that's the guy that came in and they didn't really miss a beat.
Yeah. So Trente Jones at Shrine Bowl was a guy from Michigan that they, it's like one of those guys that like, he means a hell of a lot more to them than he does to other people type of thing. Like Trente was the sixth guy for Michigan. He started 9 games in his career. 5 of them were this year. But played games in 5 different college seasons and played a ton of football, just not as the quote unquote starter at any position, really. Complete utility guy. He and Carson Barnhart were both at our game. Carson signed as an undrafted free agent as well. But just the epitome of Swiss Army knife, wherever you need a guy, they'll figure it out. And so he's a guy that was a good athlete, had a nice week with us. But again, is a bit of an odd evaluation because he's played a lot of football, but not a ton at any particular spot. And just simply doesn't have the starts, right? Like he's not the, you know, Michigan's offensive line, I believe 2 of the last 3 years has won the Joe Moore Award. And he was definitely a part of that, but doesn't have the pomp and circumstance of a Zach Zinter or a Trevor Keegan. You know, and some of those guys, like just a guy I would not, I think he'll play guard and center in the NFL. I want that to be clear, but like, wouldn't surprise me if he makes the 53 or is certainly won't, it should be a practice squad guy just because one, he can play multiple spots at a high level. And two, again, just another guy that's played a ton of football. And Green Bay only brought in the 2 O-linemen as undrafted free agents. I haven't seen their entire rookie camp roster yet, but as of yesterday afternoon, as of Sunday afternoon, they had only signed Jennings, and obviously they drafted 3 of them, but they only signed those 2 as UDFAs. So if those are the 5 they bring in, you know, I'd be surprised if he doesn't make a practice squad spot just out of sheer versatility, jack of all trades, master of none type of guy.
Yeah, they definitely coming into this weekend, like depth was an issue. They've got a guy that I'm sure could probably start for them pretty quickly in Morgan. And then they added 4 guys that you love as prospects, like developmental guys. And truthfully, no one, I'm not going to say no one, but the Packers are as good as anyone as in developing these young players. Not everyone hits, obviously, but their track record is pretty impressive. And to give some of these guys to Steno and Butkus and that staff, like if I had to bet, I'd guess that one of them, if not more, will be a good starter in the NFL. Just because that's kind of what history tells us with the Packers. But that is all for us today. There's going to be plenty of, you know, draft content coming your way. I'm sure the players we talked about today will be hit on, you know, 1,000 different times in 1,000 different ways on 1,000 different podcasts. So we appreciate the fact that you guys tune into this one. So we will catch you guys next time. And until then, go Pack Hill.